Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Monero Alamos, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MAI and on the OTCQX under the symbol MAIFF. We are chatting with the president, Doug Ramshaw. Now, Doug, we're going to start off with a focus on the company Santana project in Sonora State, Mexico. Just to remind everybody, Monero Alamos holds 3 low capex projects, advancing each of them towards production. Low capex, but profitable. And we're starting with the Santana project because this is the one where the ramp up is really starting to pick up steam here. There's been a couple news releases over the last couple months here outlining this ramp up towards production. Doug, can you summarize where the company stands in terms of this Santana gold mine and the move into production, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. And thanks for having me back on. Good to chat with you and chat as always. Santana is the first of 3 mines we expect to have built over the coming years. Built in the middle of a pandemic for $10 million US. We christened it with our first blast end of May, and mining started in late June. And, you know, the kind of rule of thumb with these open pit heap leaches is it's a function of the leach cycle itself. It's a function of, you know, opening up a pit, you know, means your mining rates scale up over time as well. You know, our internal kind of feel is they take about 6 months from starting up to when you're seeing net cash coming off the operation. And so that ramp up period is all about maintaining that trajectory, which should be, you know, January, where we're seeing Santana kicking off net cash. And the importance of having a strong balance sheet while you're mining and not necessarily seeing immediate returns in gold production as the cycle takes its time, is really underscored with open pit heap leach. So we're fortunate in that regard. We've got, you know, $15 million plus in working capital, no debt. So yeah, all eyes are on the startup. We have started up. We were leaching end of August. Some initial test material to kind of commission our carbon plant. I think you'll remember from previous conversations, we're not producing Dory at site. We're producing a loaded carbon concentrate. We'll send that for shipping, stripping, and the production of a Dory product. And so, you know, that leaching started in August, and we've subsequently put a lot more material on the pad. So it's a constantly evolving cycle as you leach more and more material. But yeah, we'll have our first gold concentrate probably next week or so. We'll be making that first delivery, and you know that will mark this kind of commencement of gold production, but it's a scaling up process that will take us, I mean, even next year, where, you know, when we're spitting off net cash, we expect the production profile to kind of incrementally increase on a month-by-month basis as we go throughout 2022.
Doug, can you remind everybody what the guidance is, forward guidance in terms of production estimates, please?
We haven't given formal guidance yet. My best internal estimates right now on what we're planning for Santana in its kind of first iteration of production, you know, will be in its first full year production next year, 45,000 ounces, somewhere in that order. And that makes the project really feel like a typical junior gold producer. But I think there's nothing typical about Santana and nothing typical about Monero. We have 2 criteria when we look at projects. The first is, can we build it? Kind of important. And so if it meets that check mark, it's like, okay, can it grow organically? So, you know, what we don't want to do is string together a whole bunch of 50,000 ounce a year operations that's all they are. Doesn't mean they're all going to grow from there. Maybe we're wrong on the upside, but you know, our senses, our 3 projects, have a, you know, Santana being the first, all have this kind of base production range of 40 to 60,000 ounces a year. But each one of them, we feel we've got the visibility on the upside exploration wise as to how they can grow to something more meaningful, you know, in the 80, 100,000 ounce a year kind of range, because that's how you build a really impressive growth to your production profile and overall production profile without limiting yourself because of bandwidth issues of having a whole lot of small operations strung together.
Well, Doug, to that point about expanding the resources you have, you had a 19-hole exploration program at Santana that ran parallel to the construction. What did you glean from that? Could you give us an update on how that drilling went and how that will inform the future growth of Santana?
Yeah, the reason we put out those results recently, you know, we really wanted to take people's mind off drill results. I've seen it in way too many companies. You put out drill results, and the first thing investors ask before they've even digested that first release is, when are the next ones coming? And you get a what have you done for me lately kind of reactionary kind of investor base that way. Instead, I wanted our investors, and I think we have an incredible shareholder register, of big and small shareholders, all equally important, to focus on what we're really doing here, which is we're a gold development company that is building gold mines. And from the cash flow from those operations, absolutely, we're going to, you know, reinvest that money into exploration. So the drilling we put out recently was pit optimization, kind of infill drilling around the main Nicho pipe. And to me, it wasn't material. So Nicho is a bit of a known quantity. We've come out with plenty of rounds of drilling for it. There's 30,000 meters into the Nicho complex of drilling done by us and past operators. So we were testing the outer boundaries to it, and we've shown that it's still open to the south, you know, southwest, southeast. That southern margin is definitely open for expansion still. And we've also shown the depth potential of these systems still. But all that drilling, you know, it wasn't going to be a material impact on what we feel we can mine from Nicho. I think what will be more interesting is when at Santana, specifically, is when we start moving the drills to the other pipes there. You know, because if Nicho's, it's, you know, just pick a number, 400,000 ounces, it can support the nice, you know, nice development and production profile for 7 years. You know, adding a bit of mine life to that by proving up another 50,000 ounces, sure, it gives you another year of mine life. But what's far more meaningful is if we drill into one of the other pipes, which we know are all gold bearing, and we can show there's another 300,000 or 400,000 ounces in that pipe, which will be its own pit. You know, that's far more meaningful. Those are the kinds of results in 2022 I expect us to be coming out with, which will show the path to how Santana grows from its initial humble beginnings as a 40,000, 45,000 ounce a year operation to something that hopefully, you know, is in that 80,000+ ounce range that we always aspire to see our operations grow to.
Doug, it's going to be exciting to follow along with the growth at Santana, but let's move over to the second project in the hopper here, and that is the Cerro de Oro project, which I believe is in development and scheduled potentially for construction as early as next year in 2022. Walk us through the timeline there and how things are developing at Cerro de Oro.
Yeah, I'm not one to rest on our laurels. We're really, you know, planning to build our second mine. I think that's the rapid build out of a sequence of mines is what sets us apart from a typical junior producer. We want to leave the junior producer kind of production range in our rearview mirror pretty rapidly. We can do it with quick permitting timelines in Mexico and low capex requirements that our projects have. So Cerro de Oro, when we picked it up a little over a year ago, you know, we came out with a base kind of resource, 630,000 ounces. That was using 1450 gold. We always want to use conservative metrics. And at spot gold, it's closer to 1 million ounces, but we'll use 1450 in all our internal modeling. That project, we hope to have permits submitted before year end. And realistically, that means we're probably right around the cusp of Q3, Q4 next year, we could start construction. It's about a 6-month construction time is what we're planning for that one. Now, the good news between now and then is we will have several, probably close to 3/4 of net cash generation at Santana that could arguably support the construction of Cerro de Oro. But realistically, we'll probably take some debt on. We're debt-free now. We're not averse to debt. We'll probably take on some debt to build Cerro de Oro because more than anything, you know, that cost of capital is low in the current environment. And the Santana cash flow is better spent making sure that Santana can be all it can be. And we may even divert some of the cash flow from Santana to drill some Fortuna holes as well. So, you know, all being well, Cerro de Oro could come on stream sometime in the first half of 2023. You know, again, and that's probably it's going to be a bigger scale operation. It will probably start out at 60,000 ounces a year, but we can definitely see a path where we can take that project to 100,000 ounces a year. It's lower grade than Santana. It's around 0.4 of a gram, virtually no strip. And, you know, it's going to be a very simple run of mine kind of operation for us. So we're extremely excited, not just to very rapidly put into production something within a 2.5-year window of picking it up, but also showing how much bigger Cerro de Oro can be. And I think we'll see that in 2022.
Okay, so we've covered Santana, Cerro de Oro. What about the La Fortuna project, also in Mexico? I understand this is, let's say in the relatively near term, also going to be moved closer to production.
Yeah, La Fortuna is in Durango, so all our operations are in northern Mexico where we like to operate. It's in Durango. It's actually fully permitted right now. We did a PEA in 2018 using 1250 gold, had a 5-year, the PEA was just based around a high-grade starter pit, the operative word there being starter. We knew that there were extensions to that pit as well as greenfields opportunities on the property. So the economics on it are spectacular, as one would imagine. It's a 3.5-4 gram open pit with a 6-to-1 strip, about $26 million U.S. capex. The AISC comes in at sub $500 an ounce. So it's going to be a very high margin operation in whatever gold price environment we're in. But it's a little bit more complex. It involves a mill that we own, a 2,000-ton-a-day mill that we own already, compared with building a heap leach, which is pads, ponds, our small carbon plant design. There's a little bit more complexity to it. It's about a 1-year build. So that's why Cerro de Oro slotted in ahead of it. But it also creates the opportunity for us, while we're building Cerro de Oro, to drill out Fortuna more, so that when we start it up, instead of that 5-year starter pit, doesn't matter how good the economics are, no one likes a 5-year mine life. Well, we know it's beyond that. And so let's prove it with a drill. Let's add some mine life. And then, you know, the thought I had recently was the PEA called for 1,100 ton a day throughput. We have a 2,000 ton a day mill. Doesn't seem to be an efficient use of that mill. Could we spend some more money drilling there, money that our operations can generate rather than the equity market, and see if we can drill it out more so that maybe you're starting that operation up at 1,600-1,700 tons a day and maybe initially. And it can start out with a 80 or 85,000 ounce a year profile. So, I mean, the key thing is while we're building Cerro de Oro, it might have shifted Fortuna back a little bit. Fortuna is not going to be sitting on a shelf gathering dust. There will be active programs in effect over the next couple of years to ensure that when Fortuna is built, it's built the way it should be. And it can be a much better operation as a result. So excited for that. I mean, our company may be a developer, maybe a producer, but in many ways, I feel like we can explore and do more drilling in the course of 12 months than most exploration companies. And more importantly, we can fund that out of operations rather than, you know, I often say that the hamster wheel of continually going back to the market for drill money.
It's a big time now for the company, getting these projects now more so in production and starting to generate that cash flow. But you guys do have that pipeline of growth in terms of the production and also some of the drilling that's ongoing. So, Doug, we're going to keep following up with you to keep getting some of these updates, especially on the ramp up into production. If anybody has any follow-up questions or wants more information on any of the assets within Minera Alamos, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those answered for you. Doug, really appreciate the update today. Have a great rest of your weekend, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks, Corey.